In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's really important, brothers and sisters, when we sing the services to understand them. They teach us everything about salvation. All dogmas, all the ways we should think are in the services. Because salvation is about how you think. Because how you think is how you live. How your thoughts are determine how your life goes. And so we must learn how to think. It's not a simple thing. But it is simple to stand in the services and to try to listen and to try to pray. It's not easy, but it is simple. And it is simple to get the service books and to read them, and at first without understanding. And eventually, as you build up sort of a vocabulary and understanding, these things sort of jump off the page at you. And then there will be times when a certain hymn is said, and it will just touch you to the core. But you have to do the background work to have this happen. People that rarely go to church, or that don't listen very much, or that just come to liturgy, these things are lost for them. Because the services are really holistic. You have to have a lot of them to understand anything. And so the services today are, of course, about the expulsion of Adam from paradise. They're not about what we call this Sunday, Forgiveness Sunday. They're only about us asking for forgiveness of God and the right attitude to have when we ask for this forgiveness. Now, we will ask forgiveness of one another and give forgiveness to one another in our forgiveness ceremony after Vespers tomorrow. But as I wrote recently, you cannot forgive someone without knowing yourself. Because if you know yourself, you know that you're not a good person. And if you know that, then you forgive other people who are not good. And you have humility. And with humility, you can forgive anyone. Now, we just sang from the Apostolica this incredible hymn about Adam, who was cast out of paradise. And of course, being sung in a compunctionate tone, it's even more effective to the soul. But it really epitomizes, as do really a dozen or two dozen or three dozen hymns in this Sunday, the attitude that we must cultivate in us. And make no mistake, it takes cultivation. If you've ever done any kind of farming or gardening, cultivation is hard work and continual work. First digging the ground, and then manuring the soil, planting the seeds, putting up fences, putting up trellises for the plants to grow on, weeding, watering, protecting for animals. Cultivation is a difficult task, and it's not a one-time task. So that's why these services continually mention things that we should inculcate in our hearts. So it says, Adam was cast out of paradise through eating from the tree. Seated before the gates, he wept, lamenting with pitiful voice and saying, "Woe is me for what I have suffered in my misery. I transgressed one commandment of the Master, and now I am deprived of every blessing. O most holy paradise, planted for my sake and shut because of Eve, pray to him that made thee and fashioned me, and once more I may take pleasure in thy flowers." Okay, so there is our attitude of going down, of feeling our sinfulness, of admitting that we are not good. And then comes the going up. Then the Savior said to him, "I desire not the loss of the creature which I fashioned, but that he should be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And when he comes to me, I will not cast him out." And that's straight from Scripture. But in order to have him not cast us out, we must have a disposition of asking him to help us. And the only way to acquire this disposition, of course, the only way that it occurs is from the Holy Spirit enlightening us. But the Holy Spirit will not enlighten us unless we're making an effort. And that effort must be to
develop this idea in our hearts about our sinfulness. Not morbid, not a sense of I'm no good, I'm a terrible person, I should just jump off a cliff. That's the way the world thinks about things when they feel sin in their hearts. We don't do that. We feel our sinfulness acutely, but we also, at the same time we feel our sinfulness, we feel the mercy of God and have confidence in Him. And we have examples from the Scripture that we've just gone over in the past few weeks. We have the prodigal son, right? Who felt acutely how much he had wasted his father's love and his inheritance. And he knew that his father would receive him back. But he was humble about how his father would receive him. And his father received him well above his expectations. So we should only ask that we can be one of the Lord's hired servants, and He will make us one of His sons and daughters. Then we have the example of the publican, who all he could do was stand far off in the temple and beat his breast and say, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And the Lord said, "That man returned to his home justified rather than the Pharisee." So he had an attitude of feeling his sinfulness acutely, painfully. We don't like pain in this world. We do everything to get rid of pain. Take a pill to get rid of any pain. If we have a cold, we immediately have to take some sort of medication so our throat doesn't hurt. Everything is about relieving our pain, making us more comfortable in our modern world. Well, sin is painful. Our condition is painful. And if you're afraid or unwilling to feel that pain, then you're never going to get completely fixed. You've got to be willing to feel that pain. Not pain of punishment, but the pain existentially of knowing that you're not what you should be and what you can be. But with that pain, the certainty that the Lord will not cast you out. The world does not understand this, and other religions do not understand this. This concept is completely foreign to Muslims, for instance. It's completely foreign, or at least mostly foreign, to many Christians. They cannot comprehend this idea of feeling the depth of our sinfulness and the height of God's mercy in the same breath, in the same thought. And so many theologies have been created because this point is not understood. We're sinful people. Let's admit it. Let's own it. But also, God will be merciful to us. Not because of anything we deserve, but because of our disposition and His mercy. Now there's many, many other things in these services that have that idea in them. And really, if you look carefully, it's all throughout the year. But especially during Great Lent, every day is full of this kind of idea. I could cite a dozen examples just by turning the pages and reading almost every single hymn from Vespers, from Matins. And I would advise you to do that. I would advise you to get $30 and buy a Lenten Triodion and read it. And if you don't understand something, talk to me about it. And then the services will start to really come alive to you. So may God help us to have this attitude. Or should I say attitudes? Or really, it is one attitude. Because it is two thoughts that are melded into one, inseparably. And that is that we are sinful and undeserving of God's mercy, and so much of what we have done is reprehensible. But also, God will not cast us out. God became man so that we could become free of all of our sin, of everything. Not just be forgiven of our sin, that's not enough. To be completely freed of sin, to become completely purified. This idea, these two ideas that have become one, so that they're inseparable, must be in our prayers. Now, there's only one more. I had a lot of these marked, but it's way too many as usual, because I can never really edit very well. But I'll say one more, because I want you to understand that this idea of our sinfulness and God's mercy is not one that you can just create for yourself. You can't just sit in a corner and become this. You can't will this. You can't study enough for this to happen. Now, if you want to learn engineering, you go to engineering school and you study real hard, and it might be difficult, but you eventually learn it. This is not the same thing. Only by God's inspiration, with our effort, will we learn this. And it's right here in the Kontakion after Ode 6 of the Canon tonight. O Master, guide to wisdom, giver of prudent counsel, instructor of the foolish, and champion of the poor, make firm my heart and grant it understanding. By the way, when we mention all of these things, instructor of the foolish, champion of the poor, we're talking about ourselves. Everything is personalized, okay? We're not talking about people out there. We're talking about us. It's only about you when you're saying this prayer. Make firm my heart and grant it understanding. A word of the Father, give me words. For see, I shall not stop my lips from crying out to thee. I am fallen, in thy compassion, have mercy on me. Even there we see, I am fallen, in thy compassion, have mercy on me. Those two thoughts that are one, that are perfectly joined. And we must beg the Lord to give us those words. And of course, most of the words that the Lord will give us will not be words at all in a language that is spoken. They will be the groanings of the heart that the Holy Spirit gives to us. This should be your goal during Great Lent especially, that the Lord would teach you about yourself and about Him simultaneously, so that you would have these groanings of words, wordless words, in your heart about your sinfulness and God's mercy. And you'll change if you have those feelings constantly in your heart. You won't judge anybody. You won't be angry at anybody. You won't have lustful thoughts. You won't be jealous about anything. The man who has this idea, which the monastic tradition talks about of mindfulness of death, remembrance of death. If the man has this idea that he lives by, he doesn't sin at all. So let us ask God that during this period of time, we would have even just a little bit added to our poor and leaky vessels. A little bit of humility and a little bit of knowledge of our own sinfulness, along with a little bit more knowledge of God's mercy. That is what you should be asking for and striving for and fasting for and praying for during Great Lent. So may God help you. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through His grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.